Spotlight.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to our program, Spotlight. I'm Arjun Chaudhary, and today we will be discussing about Womania and Nari Shakti Vandan, the Government of India initiatives to promote women entrepreneurship and financial inclusion. We are joined by Kritika Suneja, a journalist with Economic Times. Kritika ji, a warm welcome to you on this discussion.
Thank you.
Let's begin by understanding what the fundamental policy of the government is to promote entrepreneurship among women, ensure that they are financially included as well. Entrepreneurship is not easy. It's all about identifying the business opportunity and then enabling support that includes credit facilities, marketing assistance as well, along with many other aspects like skill development and mentorship to ensure that it's not a short-term exercise, but something that's long-term, clearly empowers them in many different ways and provides employment to the society as well. So do tell us about Womania, this Government of India procurement process by which the total value orders are right now as much as 5-6% being handled by micro and small enterprises, which are owned and managed by women.
Absolutely. As you mentioned, it is a government e-marketplace or GEM, as we call it, where all the government departments, all the ministries, their regular day-to-day, daily government goods and services procurement is done through a portal, completely paperless, completely cashless. It was launched in 2016 and the Womania initiative, it came up in 2019. So a good 7 successful years. And I think we have about 2 lakh women who are now associated with Womania. So there are 5 categories on the portal. Things like textiles, things like handicrafts, things like personal care, accessories. So departments and ministries who specifically want to buy from women entrepreneurs, they can go on the GEM website and procure from them.
So the Government of India website, GEM as we call it, is a procurement portal, and as you mentioned that 2.1 lakh women are actually involved as entrepreneurs and they are on board this particular portal. We have some metrics as well. 28,000 contracts have been awarded to micro and small enterprises, and if you look at the total value, it's not just in terms of percentage of 5.6%, but we're looking at 13.7 lakh orders as well. Focus sectors, according to the metrics, is handicrafts, handlooms, jute coir, and home products, all related to textiles in many ways. Why is it just focused on this particular industry?
Textiles has traditionally been a woman-focused industry because it allows women to not only work from home as per their convenience if it relates to job work, and also many times the textile industries and the companies themselves, the plants themselves, have enough opportunities and enough space for women to sit there, work. They sometimes have creches. They can also take care of their kids. So it is easier for women. Plus, a lot of times it does not require heavy machinery to be operated. It's niche work. It requires delicate finger work, which women can easily do. And hence these sectors, which are a lot of times also related to domestic or home production. So things like coir, people in the coir industry, and then these women then work on the coir, I think the production of coir fabric.
Kritika, let's talk about credit now, because without finance, it's very difficult to carry out any kind of business, whether it's a micro and small enterprise or a startup for that matter. So you have the Credit Guarantee Fund Trust, the CGTMSE, collateral free loans up to 1 crore rupees, interest subvention and special incentives. There have been other yojanas or plans that have been announced as well. Your Pradhan Mantri Mudra Yojana as well. How do you see women accessing finance from public sector banks under these particular schemes? How accessible is it? And how do you see women entrepreneurs ensuring that they borrow in good faith and they repay also in good faith?
Absolutely. It's just not one ministry or one department that has worked on this. I think, as you mentioned, it is across the board, be it the MSME ministry or Women and Child Development, or it is Stand Up India. You mentioned the Mudra Yojana, that is the finance ministry. So it is across the board, and it is usually said that the number of women defaulters are less. So the access is easier, definitely. The collaterals are easier, and the returns are, I think, also better.
I think the default rate is the lowest all over the world as well when it comes to micro and small enterprises. And clearly, the additional responsibility of managing the family also plays a very important role in this ethical responsibility that is secured. Let's now talk about marketing assistance, because you have to sell your product as well. Exhibitions and promotions are also facilitated, and you also have other aspects like mentorship, which is sort of a guidance provided to these entrepreneurs to ensure that they're able to network sufficiently well. There is identification of key investors, incubators, and industry partners. To what extent are these intangibles actually playing a key role in empowering women entrepreneurs?
Absolutely. It's just not the numbers, the number of women entrepreneurs. I mean, as the government says, there are about 1 lakh entities or startups that have at least one woman director. So it shows how even in startups, so total number of registered startups, which is about 2 lakhs, and with women directors, it's 1 lakh. So you can easily say 50% of the startups have at least one woman in a decision-making role. So you know that these women, they know their work, they are driven, and that is why the access to credit, the access to finance, it's easier, and the returns are also good.
So if you look at the Companies Act of 2013, for instance, so when a company crosses a certain threshold in terms of its revenue and profitability, women directors have to be included on the board as well, along with independent directors. So there is this aspect of reservation, and it also ensure that the ethical responsibility of corporate governance, for instance, is also carried out by the company concerned. Do tell us about the background from which this very concept of Womania and Nari Shakti Vandan has now come out in a very strong and forceful manner. Is there a background of the Women's Reservation Bill, for instance, where we're talking about 33% reservation in Parliament and legislative assemblies? I know that this is on the political front, but there is some analogy here with politics and business.
Yes, we can draw an analogy. I think if they can run businesses successfully, run households, is pretty much, we have also seen, I mean, who was the first woman prime minister of the country? Yes, to draw an analogy, maybe we can, maybe we cannot. But yes, when it comes to Womania, I think the genesis comes from the fact that India has had a lot of self-help groups. We have had a lot of MSEs. Women have been a part of the self-help groups. And that is the reason why GEM decided to have a special initiative. They have a special initiative for startups. They have a special initiative for women-led businesses. And that is where this came from. And just 3 years after GEM was formed, look at the numbers now. Look at the clear-cut 5 categories, which are doing pretty well. Things like handloom, jute, home decor, where the government departments are directly purchasing from these women entrepreneurs. So it's doing pretty well. And hopefully we'll see more categories being added on the website.
So the government e-marketplace, GEM as we call it, has been instrumental in ensuring that women have the opportunity, because government is a substantial buyer of goods and services. What are the eligibility criteria? Udyam registration number is also to be secured. You require minimum share capital of 51% in companies or partnerships. And you mentioned about self-help groups, which is actually key to the success of Womania.
So SHGs, they normally include 10 to 20 members who pool in their resources, they work together, they save money, and they provide a helping hand to one another for income generating activities. So this is where the women come in, because this initiative is also a gender inclusive initiative to make the portal a more gender inclusive portal, because it is for national procurement. It is a public procurement portal. So integrating SHGs was probably a very natural thing to do, a very organic thing to do.
Let's now talk about other aspects in businesses where opportunities may lie. We're talking about manufacturing, trade and services. We touched upon one industry, which is the textiles. How do you see women entrepreneurs now make that leap into other aspects of the industrial sectors?
So as far as industrial sectors are concerned, we do have specific schemes for women scientists and technocrats as well. We do have something for rural women. So it spans across sectors. Basically, it is usually about the small sales segments that we touched upon, things like textiles and handicrafts, but big industries, be it automation, be it hand tools, be it small tools. So light engineering goods, you will find a lot of women on the shop floor. Sometimes even half the workforce is women, and that is where we see in export clusters, in industrial clusters. So it is across many sectors, definitely increasing, but yes, the dominance is still in smaller and light engineering and things like in hand tools and all those industries.
You have the new labor and industrial code as well, which includes the payment of wages. For instance, you have industrial safety, occupational safety. All of those provisions are mentioned in the new code. Do you see that facilitating women businesses and, more importantly, on the larger scale, women's employment in these sectors managed by women entrepreneurs?
Definitely it will. Even things like when the Shops and Establishments Act, which allows people to open their shops later in the night, and things like safety and security, they will definitely encourage your women entrepreneurs, more women laborers to come into the workforce. These are incentives. These are very important. And especially when it ensures you a certain respectable wage, it will definitely be encouraging for all the women.
Also, in terms of financial inclusion, specifically their banking relationships, how they're able to generate savings, how they're able to use it for effective purposes, their family, for instance, their personal growth, and of course, to ensure that they're able to meet whatever demands there are to go to employment or carry out a business.
It will, be it starters, be it women and youth advantage. These are entry barriers that have been covered, that have been won over to enhance ease of doing business. So all these small little steps will definitely help. And as you mentioned, an analogy with the women's reservation bill, yes, it's probably in the same direction.
Tell us about the TREA, the Trade Related Entrepreneurship Assistance and Development, because your product is not only being sold to the government, but also the domestic market and overseas as well, where your earnings are in foreign exchange, you're able to expand and grow your business. You can also have technology transfer, you can invite foreign direct investment. Now, the vision appears to be quite broad, but these are all quite realistic.
They are, and because you mentioned exports, a lot of times your clients in the European and the American markets, they insist that certain number of products be made by women laborers, that you need to have those many number of women on your shop floor in the production process. So in that way also, it helps the women, it brings parity, it brings pay parity, and it is convincing to the foreign buyers as well.
Well, whenever you look at entrepreneurship and any principles, whether you're borrowing from Harvard studies and specifically women entrepreneurship, you look at the spirit of entrepreneurship. How do you see that being honed? Because you're looking at specialization of functions, not just convenience, but functions. Communication is a very important aspect of that as well. Control systems to ensure that there is creativity and development of ideas. How do you see the spirit of entrepreneurship among women improving?
As I just mentioned, half of the startups in India, they have at least one woman director. And startups, we know, are the ones who have new ideas. So it is not only tech, it is not only medical, it is not only agriculture, it spans across all sectors. And we see that. We see the number of women, we see the kind of ideas they come up with. And this is sector agnostic. So it reduces the gender gap as we go ahead.
And from a personal point of view, I mean, how do you see these developments right now in this current time agreeing with your thought process? How do you see society accepting that there is now a tectonic shift in terms of who the owner of the business is and who is your employer? And more importantly, who is your supervisor, who is in charge, who is giving directions to the business, who is passing an order? How do you see this current development?
It is in the positive direction. Schools have mostly had women principals and doing really well, controlling the schools, controlling your educational institutions. These were the traditional sectors, but now we do have the new ones and following orders or, as you said, supervision. Why should it be a problem? It's part of the entire workflow. So I don't think that is really an issue. But yes, empowering women is in the positive direction, and that is where GEM comes in, where the government departments, they also know that they have to buy something from the women entrepreneurs. I mean, there is no scope for discrimination there.
And what are the other improvements that you can suggest based just on the challenges that despite the efforts and the metrics that we see, where do you see improvements and challenges being overcome?
That will be a gradual process, be it as far as the government is concerned, there are ample programs to encourage women, to incentivize them. Then it probably comes at the personal level, at the family level, where the woman really wants to do it herself, what kind of family system, support systems we have so that she is able to manage the family, her house, her children easily. That is happening gradually. We'll get there as we progress, as we become Viksit Bharat. We know Mahila Sashaktikaran will be important. We are an important part of the workforce. So small little challenges, which I think we'll have to work on ourselves. But otherwise, I think it's been pretty empowering as far as the institutions are concerned.
Well, thank you so much, Kirtika Suneja ji, for being with us on this discussion on Akashvani and talking to us in great detail at a personal level as well. Bhumania, and Nari Shakti Vandan, the Government of India initiatives to promote women entrepreneurship and financial inclusion. Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.